This is the 10th annual graduation program held Friday, May the 3rd at 10:30 a.m. President S.L. Staley presiding.
Eternal God, our Father, our first thought is of Thee. We are grateful for the assurance that Thou art the source of all being, that Thou hast visited us in Jesus Christ, and that nothing can separate us from Thy love. Let Thy blessing come abundantly upon this company of Thy people, including Thy servant, the president of this seminary, and each member of the graduating class. Enable us by Thy Spirit to order our lives by what is good, acceptable, and perfect in Thy sight. And may Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us hear the word of God as it comes to us through his servant, the prophet. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and declare unto my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near unto God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find your own pleasure and oppress all your laborers. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye fast not this day so as to make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen, the day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a rush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thy face from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy healing shall spread forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her iniquities. The voice of the one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord, make level in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice of one saying, cry. And one said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the fields. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the breath of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Oh, that thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. May God bless the reading of these familiar selections from the 58th and 40th chapters of Isaiah.
The New Testament lesson is taken from the 5th and the 6th chapters of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things.
and more I appreciate the ministry of music. I appreciate this ministry, which we have just heard. And some of you will understand, I think, when I mention the fact that Brother Pogue is from the state of Oklahoma. We are now ready to present certificates to and to confer degrees upon candidates for these awards, but before the respective groups stand, I request Brother Coleman Markham to come to the platform. Brother Markham, perhaps you have heard that there is an award yearly called the Church History Award, which is given to that student in the seminary who has prepared the best paper in church history as far as faculty and others are able to judge the quality of the papers. I'm happy to inform you that this year you have won this award. It is a simple silver loving cup and will be engraved with your name and appropriate wording. I congratulate you, sir. Friends, it is customary with us that some member of the faculty deliver a relatively brief charge to the candidates at this time. And in consideration of my aging infirmities, I was asked to do it today. There is no time to reminisce, and I shall not do it. However, it is always appropriate, I think, to express gratitude, and at least briefly, I want to express mine. I am grateful to Southern Baptists who, through their too little understood and appreciated cooperative program, have made possible this seminary, in which for the last 12 years, I have experienced the deepest joys of my life. My colleagues on this faculty and staff, through their generous friendship, their unquestioned consecration, their serious scholarship, their discussions and their colloquies, their response to the challenges of our times, and their growth in Christian maturity and grace have helped me to comprehend more deeply, and I wish I could emphasize this, the greatness of God, the nature and meaning of His Bible, the presence of His Spirit, and the fellowship of the saints than I would have dreamed possible to me 12 years ago. One can learn infinitely if one is willing. And I am more grateful than I could express in a whole book to the generations of students who have shared with me their faith and doubts, their victories and defeats, their hopes and fears, their visions and their failures. They have kept me challenged and alive in mind and heart, so that constantly I thrill again to Ulysses' words in Tennyson's poem, memorized when I was a youngster in college. All experience is an arch, wherethrough gleams that untraveled world, whose margin fades forever and forever when I move. I am constantly amazed at the greatness of God, and keep on discovering that what He does is a whole lot more important than what I think He ought to do. You members of the graduating class and I have at least one thing in common. We're ending one era of life and beginning another. My Aunt Emma, the 92-year-old widow of my father's only brother, expressed the way I feel and the way I hope you feel about life's changes, when she replied to my recent letter telling her that I am retiring from the responsibilities of the presidency by sending me her last written little poem at 92. A door has closed behind me. Another opens wide. Before it lies a welcome mat. With faith, I step inside. Aunt Emma is far too wise and vital still to have been thinking only of death. She remembers well indeed the vicissitudes of life, doors through which she has passed, experiences that have proved her faith that defeat may serve as well as victory to shake the soul and let the glory out. The doors of disappointments and of the cross, entered in faith by Jesus, led him to the fullness of his Father's house. I charge you and myself, follow him, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Now further, in the near sanctity of this our last hour together, I presume to ask you to listen closely while I share with you some of the thoughts which have charged and challenged me through many years. I count them gifts of God, channeled through the lives of Christian brethren. I have tried to arrange them in a manner that will make them easy to remember. Four things, three things, two things, one person. First, four things. From the literarily gifted Henry Van Dyke, the Samuel H. Miller of my early days, he says, four things a man must learn to do if he would write his record true. To think without confusion, clearly. To love his fellow men sincerely. To act from honest motives purely. To trust in God and heaven securely. Perhaps the hardest is the first. To think, even if, or maybe rather because, one is a Christian. Someone realizing this difficulty prayed thus, O Lord, I offer thee my heart. In many a mystic mood by beauty led, I give my heart to thee. But now impart that greater gift, to offer thee my head. Then those words, love his fellow men sincerely. Can we honestly say that we do? Sincerely. Without wax, without covering over a putrid selfishness with a sweet word, without the secret motive of deceiving men in order to use them for our purposes, which is, I deeply believe, the essence of sin, the surest evidence of the lack of love and therefore of the lack of God. Deceptive love is subtly worse than open hate to bring loneliness and estrangement into men's lives and wars among nations. But sincere love, with its deep concern and its thoughtful helpfulness, is God's own cure for the loneliness and despair of the whole world. A truly great preacher now, who was once my student, told a friend recently, I think I wouldn't have been worth a blank, but Staley twisted my arm until I had to try to be honest. I remember the situation. He had accepted a church of mediocre people who had little vision and less training. He became disgusted with them and wanted to move to another church. I simply quoted Van Dyke to him and told him that I could have no respect for him, or could he have respect for himself, unless he could meet the challenge of those lines and establish his relationships with those unlovely people. He met that challenge. Next, three things, two sets of three things. First set, prayer, Bible reading, fellowship. This is the tripod of strength for the individual Christian. Adolf Deismann insisted that wherever religion is vital for any human being, it is expressed in prayer. Luther discerned that faith is simply prayer. And Sam Miller sees that prayer is the test of love. Our prayers, he said, are small because we love so little to put into them. It is talking things over with God. If we do not do this, things go wrong then according to our strange eccentricities, our lack of center. Sabatier says bluntly, where there is no prayer from the heart, there is no religion. Pray, brethren, at stated times and at unstated times. Read your Bible and study your Bible daily. I have not done this, and I know that it is the source of many of my weaknesses. Never think yourself too experienced or too knowing to skip this. Augustine said the Bible is a book in which an elephant may swim or a lamb may wade. God's word in Scripture is the primary source of our faith, and it can instruct any man, however knowing or erudite he may be. And never neglect fellowship, whether it be in the assembling of ourselves together in regular church services, or in earnest conversation with Christian friends, or in study groups. Dialogue is how brother helps brother to come to the knowledge of truth. In it, brethren both criticize and receive criticism and grow in grace thereby. Without it, we become dead seas stagnated by our own prejudices. The second set of three things is the tripod or trilogy of strength for Christian and denominational cooperation. The dynamic words are missions, evangelism, education. Education, evangelism, missions. Evangelism, missions, education. The three go together. Christian statesman you will never be if you seriously lengthen or shorten any one leg. The tripod topples then, and Christian objectives become grotesque figures of ingrown scholasticism or obscurantism or crass selfishness. Next, two things, or perhaps two aspects of one thing. The greatest thing in the world, Henry Drummond called it. Hear Jesus himself as he tells us about it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thus our Lord was helping men to see that law and prophecy are but forward steps in God's great effort to lead us to love. The simple truth is that we love or we perish. An humble, anonymous poet uses phrases that will have never let me, since I knew them, forget. These are his words. Keep love in your life, my friend, if you would have perfect joy. Keep love, never let her depart, for who would his life destroy? For life's no longer than love, my friend. When love is no more, that's the journey's end. And regret and fear will your life attend. Keep love in your life, my friend. So far I have made points, at least I hope I have. But really, points are things and must be validated by persons, made alive by persons, if they ever become meaningful to other persons. Always, ultimately, it's persons that count, not points. It is Jesus who is also the living Christ, the teacher, the master, the friend, our Savior, who lived out and died for Christian truths. He was and is love. He was and is clear thinking, education. He was and is honest motive and perfect faith. He was and is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He didn't so much say these things as he lived them out. I charge you, open your life to him daily, and wherever and however you minister, minister in his name and in his spirit, remembering always that he that hath not the spirit of Christ is none of his. And I pray for you, my beloved sons and daughters of Southeastern, that ye be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God, in order that you may be and say the deep truths of God about life to men everywhere, every day that you live. My humble blessings go with you. And now it is time for us to sing together our seminary hymn. After we sing the hymn, instead of having the benediction immediately, I have been asked to recognize Dr. J. Glenn Blackburn, who is chairman of our Board of Trustees, and he will appear before you before he himself will pronounce the benediction.
Seated, please. First of all, Dr. Staley has asked me to say for him and for the faculty the very warm welcome that they feel for the visitors who are here, and the desire to have you feel at home, and for them to have a chance to chat with you after this service. All of you know the love, the faith, and the friendship that have gone into the making of this place. My thought today has been going back several years to the time when we employed the first person in this seminary. He was Dr. Staley as president. We didn't know whether we had the money to pay him or whether we had any work for him to do. We didn't even have a chair for him to sit in, and he hasn't been sitting down much since. Every person that is today under the employ of this institution is here. First of all, on the invitation of Dr. Staley, it is appropriate at this time, and I'm sure the graduates would understand, if we turn aside for just a moment in this tribute to him, and first of all, the folks with whom he has worked, the folks who have been strength and help to him and who love him because of their intimate association, the faculty, represented by Dr. W.C. Strickland.
I have been commissioned by the Faculty Club Committee of the Seminary to read the following resolutions. Upon the occasion of the retirement of Sidnor Lorenzo Staley from his office as President of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Wake Forest, North Carolina, effective July 31st, 1963, we, the faculty of the seminary, declare and publish the following resolutions. First, that Almighty God be thanked and praised for calling him to serve as first president of this theological seminary. Second, that we express an abiding appreciation of his significant labors as teacher and administrator in founding and developing this school. Third, that we honor him as a man of unusual Christian vision and insight, uniquely prepared for his ministry among us. Fourth, that we pray that he be given the sense of achievement of God's purpose, the constant awareness of the firm affection of his colleagues, the opportunity of a continuing ministry in the church, and yet many years of gracious living, all to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Signed by the faculty. Mr. President, a permanent copy of these resolutions is being prepared for you.
Thank you, Dr. Strickland, and these resolutions will be made a part of the permanent records of this seminary as kept by the trustees. It is my privilege and responsibility to speak for trustees and friends, and I feel quite inadequate. I have been associated with Dr. Staley for a long time, and I've been one of his troublemaking trustees all the time he's been here. And I could take a long time to tell you about some things that have happened, some funny experiences we've had, some nights we've spent crying, and a lot of hard work. I think you know what Dr. Staley has done and the way in which he has done it. And I think words from me would only detract. I could only wish that I might share in the deep feeling of satisfaction that must be his today as he concludes this responsibility and with his last commencement as president, to realize what he has been a part of and what he has helped to accomplish. Secondly, to know that he is leaving the work that he so dearly loves in the hands and under the leadership of the great and matchless leader, Dr. Olin T. Binkley, president-elect, and then to know that he's got a chance to rest some. Now, I'd like to have all three of those, and the last one in particular. We, some of the trustees and some friends in and around Raleigh, thought that we owed it to ourselves to express publicly for ourselves and for many others who'd like to, something of our appreciation, our admiration, and our love. Sometimes trustees put skids under presidents. We want to put some wheels under Sid. Sitting out front just now is a car that came off the assembly line in Pontiac, Michigan, day before yesterday. It got here about 30 minutes before this service began. If you think I haven't been nervous. In fact, it got here so fast that the originating papers are not here yet. We don't have the title, but as soon as those other papers get here, we'll give you the title and we assure you it'll be clear. We do have the keys and the necessary papers. Jesse and Sid, we want you to go just as far as you want to go, have as big a time as you want to have, but we want you to be in something that'll bring you back. And may every turn of the wheel remind you that a lot of folks love you. May God bless you, and I don't want to allow time for any speeches. We're all tired of them. And I do want you to have an opportunity to tell him how much you love him too, and he'll be around after the benediction. May we stand. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for this institution, for all who are a part of it, all who have been helped by it, and all who love it today. We thank thee for the man who has led us in these years, for his faith, his courage, his spirit. We thank thee for his companion who in loyalty and faith has borne her witness and given her strength. Keep, guide, and bless them this day and every day. Let thy beauty and thy blessings be upon these graduates and upon all of us, that we shall indeed be thy disciples, showing the world the love that saves, and we'll give to thee the praise and the honor now and forevermore. Amen.